check. All right, we're going to get started because it looks like there may rain a little bit here. You can turn my guitar down just a tweak in the monitor. A little feedback. I would be homeless without your goodness. I would be desperate without your love. Slave to the darkness if it wasn't for the cross. You have won me with your kindness. Chase me down when I was lost. Where would I be if it wasn't for the cross? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now I'm not. It's with your blood you bought my with mercy. Now your mercy will be my song. Oh, the glory, oh, the power of the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Amen to that, yeah? Well, it's a good day today for a lot of reasons. It's always a good day when there's bacon drifting through the air. And it's a good day because Cowboy Joe's back. And had a near-death experience. Maybe he'll tell you about it. He lived to tell about it, obviously, because he's here. So there you go. Well, hey, Mitzi, how are you? Well, Joe has a favorite song and he always asks me to do it. And I'm not even going to make him ask today. I'm just going to do it. Can you turn the guitar down a little bit? It's still pretty hot in there. It's kind of feeding back a little bit. You know, it's one thing to believe that Jesus, you know, did us a big fat favor by dying on the cross for us. But it's a whole other thing to believe that run away from him, even if we just keep running away and keep resisting his love and mercy, to believe that he would still pursue and come after us, right? That's what makes the gospel such an amazing teaching, is that we have this beautiful God, this mysterious, beautiful Savior that saves us and rescues us even when we don't want to be rescued, that comes after us and pursues us. Psalms 139, he says, he goes before us and comes behind us and hems us in. He constantly pursues us. It's just this beautiful thing. I remember when I was a little kid, we went to the Space and Rocket Center, I think it was. And we're all walking around looking at all the stuff and everything. And my sister, April, she got separated from us. And she's frantically looking for us. And my dad sees her about 20 yards up ahead, like she's like looking around for us. And I remember my dad, we're all running towards her like, oh, there she is, you know. And my dad's running for her screaming like, April, April. And she's screaming, running in the other direction, like, where's my family? I'm lost. Every time I think about the love of Jesus, I think about that moment. You know, we go to things and we medicate ourselves and we run and we're frantically looking for life, right? We're frantically looking for something that can satisfy. And Jesus is always behind us, ahead of us, beside us, ready for the moment. And we would just get tired enough to surrender. Sooner or later, my sister got tired enough of screaming, and she stopped, and she heard my dad's voice. And she turned around and runs up and, like, grabs me, you know, they hug and everything. That's a picture of the love of Jesus. But we think, we have this misconception in our mind of, well, I got to be sorry enough, or I've got to be... I gotta get my shit together. I gotta clean myself up before I can come back to Jesus. But Jesus is always waiting. He's always in the margins of our lives, waiting for us just to get tired enough for the moment that we'd reach out for him. He can give us comfort. He can give us peace. He can speak love over our hearts. He can say the things, the tender things that we've longed for our whole lives, that maybe perhaps our parents failed to give us. In the deep recesses of our hearts, there's these longings, there's these places that long to be satisfied. And when we get just tired enough, man, Jesus speaks. And it could be through a warm meal. It could be through the embrace of a friend. He's always waiting. There is not a man or a beast, nothing on the ground or underneath. Oh, nothing that could ever come between the love you have for me. I would lay my head in Sheol. I could make my bed at the bottom of the darkness deep. Oh, but there is not a place that I can escape you. 'Cause your heart won't stop coming after me. Your heart won't stop coming after me. Your heart won't stop coming after me. not an angel of the star. There is not a devil in the dark. Oh, nothing that could change the way you are and the love you have for me. Yeah. I could lay my head in Sheol. I could make my bed at the bottom of the darkness deep. Oh, but there is not a place escape you, 'cause your heart won't stop coming after me. Your heart won't stop coming after me. Your heart won't stop coming after me.
Brother Charlie, and listening to the words that Jesse sings, and you know, the Father will tell you to do some stuff sometimes, and I've read this before, but just couldn't shake the thought I needed to read it before Jesse finishes. Psalm 139, Oh Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. You know, when I read that as a kid, that used to scare me because I didn't always act like I should. I wasn't always a good boy like I, you know, probably was taught to be. It always scared me that he was acquainted with all my ways. And then, old potty mouth Keith, even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. Again, it used to scare me. Then Jesse, he kind of taught me on this part of it. You hem me in behind and before me. Almost building that fence in, right, Jesse? That he goes out before us. He's already been there where you're going. He hems you in behind and before. He lays his hand upon us. David at this says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. And in this song, this is why God brought this. Where can I go? You just won't stop coming after me, as the song says. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heaven, to the heights, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, as Jesse just sang about, or the depths, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me, even the darkness is not dark to you. For the night is as bright as the day, for the darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in the secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. I'm going to ask Jesse just to sing that chorus again. But as he does, and you hear those words, you won't stop coming after me. I want you to think about that. There is nowhere that you can go. He knows everything you've ever done, everything you've ever said or will say or do. And he still loves you and still in hot pursuit, chasing you in love, wanting relationship with you. So think about that as Jesse sings. All right. Well, man, that's good stuff. Good way to start. Amen. Well, I'm so glad that you are here this morning. And we are just going to trust to hear from God this morning. All right. I got problems when I teach that other teachers sometimes don't have. I have to clip my Bible down, and we deal with the wind and stuff. If you ever wonder what I'm doing up here fidgeting, getting ready. Joe, it sure is good to see you this morning, man. Missed you. All right. Can I get everybody's attention real quick? I got a public service announcement. Do you remember those? The old PSA. Everybody look to me right up here. Julian, you doing all right, man? Good to see you, brother. All right. This week is the last week we will be meeting in this parking lot. Kind of bittersweet, isn't it? This has been fun over here. But I got good news. We got a much shorter move than we did last time. I want everybody to look to my left, probably your right. Norton's Florist here. This is their parking lot that they've let us meet in. It's being sold, so next week you'll probably see work here happening and everything, so don't fret. What I want you to do is walk right across the street here to Norton's Florist. Everybody look with me. Everybody see it? Nod your head yes. We'll be standing right in that parking lot, and that's where we'll be meeting. So very, very short move. So if you forget and come here and there's nobody in the parking lot, just look right there and you'll find us, okay? Easy one. Man, I am just so thankful for them. They are great, great partners with us. So if you see them out or see a worker, just thank them next time that you're out and about and see them, okay? Great, great people and partners with what God is doing here, okay? All right. So the last 2 weeks, there has been some awesome teaching. Even awesomer people. Is that a word, awesomer? Even awesomer people. Roger Patterson, a couple of weeks ago, taught from the study that we were in Ephesians, and talked about that each and every person, I got news for you this morning, all means all, that all of us are a masterpiece created for good works. Everybody believe that this morning, that you are a masterpiece. If you don't believe it right now, I pray through the power of the Holy Spirit, you believe it when you leave this place. He did such a great job. And then my brother Chuck, Charlie as y'all know him, dollar bills y'all, taught last week beautifully on Independence Day Sunday, or as Stuart called it, Tyranny Day, from where he's from. But nonetheless, we're grateful. But the Treason Day, the Independence Day that we celebrated, but we talked about the dependence that we have on God, right? That we want to be great citizens of this country and law-abiding citizens of this country, but remembering that our first priority is the kingdom of God, right? It's great being a great American citizen. We love our country, but we want to even be better citizens of the kingdom of God. And by the way, Jesus sure talked a lot about the kingdom, didn't he? Talked about it a lot if you go and read the Gospels. And so beautiful job by both brothers. Thank you, Charlie. And I'm going to pick up where Uncle Raj left off in Ephesians, talking about masterpieces. I want to tell you where it took me this week, and I don't often say this, but I want to tell you, after going back and watching the tape of Roger speak, it took me to the shower. I know that's weird to say, but I'm going to talk to you about a shower experience that I had. Is that okay? Is that not a little weird? I know, but just hang with me. It took me to the shower. There's these things called shower thoughts. Have you ever heard of those? Bradley and I, we've talked about some of these random things that just, these weird thoughts, right? I was listening to the radio the other day, and I heard one that was talked about on a show, and this blew my mind. Has nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about, but it is a shower thought. Anybody fans of the movie Karate Kid? If you know me, you know I love movies. That's one of my all-time favorite. Listen, I'm as big a Will Smith fan as there is, but don't come at me talking about Karate Kid with his son. Don't do it. That's not. I love him. I love the movie. It was okay for what it is, but I'm talking 80s original. Don't come at me with nothing else, okay? You remember the movie, right? It just happened to be on my Netflix, and I watched it again yesterday for probably the millionth and first time. Here's the random shower thought I heard. This is going to blow your mind. Anybody know that they're doing a new series called Cobra Kai, right? It's on Netflix. Strike hard, strike first, no mercy, sir. You know Cobra Kai, the bad guys. Do you know that in the beginning of filming of Cobra Kai, Ralph Macchio, who plays Daniel, is 5 years older than Mr. Miyagi was when they started doing. I want to know what this guy's doing. Go watch it. This guy has found the fountain of youth. He still looks 18. I don't get it. And you know, when they originally filmed Karate Kid, he was like 30 playing a high school senior. But anyway, random shower thought. I want to take you to my shower thought I had as I was listening there to Roger. So as some of y'all can tell, nobody's like lined up to get my hairstyle, but this is what I got, right? I shave my head myself. I get questions about it sometimes. No, I do not put wax on it. It's just my greasy skin and complexion. It just looks shiny sometimes, all right? I shave in the shower. This is too much information. I know you don't want to know. But I want to tell you about an experience I had that really made me think about what Roger did. I went to Brookstone. Anybody know where Brookstone is? You ever heard of that store? Very highly priced stuff. most of the time it's good stuff, but I bought the cream of the crop fogless mirror, okay? Listen to me about this fogless mirror. It had lights on the side of it. Like if your shower was a little dark, you could click the little thing. It had lights on the side of it, a fogless mirror, and it had suction cups, and it would attach to the wall of my shower. Do you get what I'm saying? Shaving cream, shaving the head, like it was nice. I want to tell you what happened to me one day, though. A literal thought that I had in the shower. One by one, this thing that I'd probably overpaid for, I'm standing there in the shower. All of a sudden, one day, the lights wouldn't work in it. It's a little dark, right? Man, my lights went out of my mirror. This is terrible. This thing is not as good as advertised. Then the next thing I know, a couple months later, what kind of mirror is it? It's a fogless mirror, right? It starts to fog up uncontrollably. I got a fogless, fogged up mirror. I got a lit mirror that won't light anymore. And then the thing to top it all off, the straw that broke the camel's back, I would come into the bathroom and I would be going to get in the shower and my mirror was laying on the floor and it would no longer stick to the side of the wall. So let me tell you, here's what it brought me to. I've got a mirror that has three functions in life. It was created for three things to do: to light up, to be fogless, and to stick. None of them. And I'm standing there and I'm looking at this mirror that is now just half of what it used to be because it's broken into pieces. The light doesn't work. It's a fogless mirror that fogs and it sticks to the wall and it won't stick anymore. It did absolutely nothing it was created by the Creator to do. Now here's where it gets spiritual. It hit me like a passage that Roger shares. I want to go back and read it for you. Beautiful passage. It's one that you know, one that you have heard. For we are His workmanship, or masterpiece, as some translations say. And right there, we love that. It gives us this warm and fuzzy feeling. We are His creation, His masterpiece, the creme de la creme. We are the top. We are the apple of His eye. When He sees us, He says, and all the other things He created, those are good, but man, He gets to and says they are very good. We are the apple of His eye. We love that. We dig that part. We get to it and we celebrate and we say, yes, I'm His masterpiece, if we're feeling good about ourselves that day. As if somehow our mistakes that we've made takes the Creator and says that He somehow didn't make something good. He doesn't do that. He loves you in spite of what you've done or doing or will do. But listen to the rest of the verse. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He prepared for us beforehand to walk in them. My friend, I want to remind you of this. Masterpiece? Yes. Absolutely. Every last one of us. If you're here this morning and you would say that you are someone, when someone uses the word all, like everybody, if you're an everybody, will you raise your hand? If you're an everybody, if you're a person, if you're breathing this morning, if you are here, if you're not breathing, we will get you medical attention. But if you are breathing this morning and you can hear the sound of my voice and hopefully more so the Holy Spirit, you, my friend, no matter what you say, you don't have the final thought. No matter what your family has said, no matter what your friends or foes have spoken against you in curses, you don't have the final say. He does, and He's already spoken. The verdict is in. You, my friend, my brother, sister, are a masterpiece, a work of art. You know people pay good money to go into a museum. I don't. It's not my gig, but I've been to them. And they walk around and they say, well, this really is an impression of it. It just looks like smears to me a lot of times, but it's art, right? But the people that are really into that go and say, man, this is a masterpiece. That is what the Creator thinks of you, a masterpiece. But listen to this, created for a purpose of good works. Guys, I want to tell you this morning, here's where I go back to the shower. If you choose your own way, you are nothing any different than a fogless dark, non-sticky mirror. Yes, created for a purpose, but you're not living in it. You're not walking in it. What good was it to have that thing? It's got three functions in life, and it did none of them. You are a masterpiece that God created for a specific purpose that, by the way, as much as I love you, as much as I want to partner with you and help you, I can't do what God created you to do. You can't do what God created me to do. We were made for a specific purpose, for good works, to walk in them. Everybody with me on that? There were some great theologians back in the days of yore named Fleetwood Mac. Fleetwood Mac said, you can go your own way. And I want to tell you this morning, you can. Look at me this morning. You can go your own way. You can. You can choose to walk in your own strength. You can choose to plan out and plot your life and go every step of the way, knowing that God is calling you to something different. You can choose your own way. That is love. That is the gift of choice. That is the gift that God gives you, a free will. But hear me, and I pray your heart hears it for the record, His way is best. His way is better than your way. I promise you. Anybody want to give testimony to that and say amen? I believe it. I've seen it. How many of you have tried it your own way and it's failed miserably? How many of you are bold enough to say, this week I've tried it my own way and it's failed miserably? His way is better. And by the way, His way sometimes will lead you to things that you'll think, man, there's no way. This is ridiculous. Like meeting in a parking lot as a storm approaches from my right here. But this is His way. It's better than anything else we could conjure up. His way is best. Are you going to choose His or yours, created for good works that we may walk in them? Today's scripture, just a couple of verses, three of them in fact. Picking up after He says that we are a workmanship, a masterpiece. Here's what Paul says to the church of Ephesus and to us. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made flesh by hands, remember that you were at the time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You pray with me. Father, we thank You for this day that You've given us. Just the next few moments here, will You speak to our hearts through the Word in ways only that You can. Holy Spirit, we give this time to You and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Gentiles. If you're a Gentile this morning, that means you are not Jewish. I'm assuming, like me, that means that most here are Gentiles this morning. Not Jewish. And He says, once separated from Christ, strangers, alienated, having no hope. Can I tell you what no hope in the Greek means? It means hopeless. No hope. There's nothing you can do. Zero hope on your own, depraved, walking in your own sin. In fact, going back a little bit further in Ephesians, dead in your trespasses. No hope, no life, no breath. But here is another but God moment. Remember chapter 2 started describing the depravity of mankind. He was talking of all the things. You were dead in your trespasses and sin and all this. But then He gets to a point and He says two words. He says, but God being rich in mercy. Remember that? We talked about it a few weeks ago. The Scripture is full of but God moments. We look at it on our own depraved and dead state, but God, then there's grace and there's life. Amen? But God. That's what happens here. No hope, hopeless, strangers, alienated, but God. I want to reread verse 13. Listen to what He says. All of these things, no hope, without God, being strangers, alienated from the covenants of God. But now, but God in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Jesse, I want to tell you, that makes me think of Carlos. You remember Carlos? It's so good, right? Jesse and I were at a conference one time, and we sat behind this guy that every time the guy said something, he's so good, so good. I can't even think that word without thinking of some random guy in Colorado named Carlos. So God bless you, Carlos, wherever you're at. But it is so good. The fact that, but God, we were far off, but now we were near. Can I tell you this morning, here's what I want to do. I don't want to presume, or I don't want to discount the fact that some of you may still be far off from God. If you are this morning, then listen to these words. The most beautiful words ever spoken. I'll close with this. You were brought near not by some trivial or artificial method or means. You were far off, hopeless, strangers, and alienated, but God brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to do this for me this morning. I want you to bow your heads, and I want you to picture a scene just real quick. I'm going to close so we can get out of here and not get drenched. The prodigal son, gone, forgotten by pretty much everybody except the father, squandered everything, and is practicing a rehearsal speech to come home. My dad's servants are treated better than this. I've been eating the slop of pigs. I want you to listen to what the word says. Remember, we are just told that we are far off, but brought near by Jesus. Some of you are here this morning and thinking, I'm too far gone. You don't know all I've done. I want you to listen to the words from the prodigal son. But while he, the son, was still far off, his father saw him, felt compassion. The word compassion means to suffer with, to put yourself in that place. He ran to him, embraced him, and kissed him, and couldn't stop kissing him. Can I ask you a question in closing this morning for those of you that would relate and say, man, I'm like that prodigal son. Too far off, too far gone. I just would have to come back as a hired hand. No way I could come back as a son or daughter. I'm going to promise you this, that if you start walking home, just meet him right now, just turn around from where you're heading, start walking home, he'll run, he'll embrace, put on the best robe, the ring, kill the fatted calf, celebrate, never stop kissing you and say, my son, my daughter that was lost is now found. My son or daughter that was dead is now alive. Everybody look this way. You say, no, he can't do that for me. My friend, listen to this truth. He died for you. What else does he have to do to show you that you are worth it? He's already done it. He's already paid the way. The most beautiful words I believe ever spoken in Scripture is Jesus hanging from a cross. It is finished. I pray that over your heart and soul this morning, that you believe, that you've accepted that, and you know you are loved. Let's pray. Father, we pray God's grace over this crowd. If someone is here and doesn't know you, still far off today, that they would come to know you today. If they already do, may us walk a step closer in knowing just how crazy you are about us. Jesus, we love you and we need you. We pray it in your name. Amen.
I don't know what to sing. I sing about